Hello and welcome back to Here Come the Sun, a weekly Connecticut Sun podcast. I'm your host, Sean Gauthier, and I'm recording on Sunday, July 14th. On today's episode, I'm going to talk about the Sun's loss to the New York Liberty and their win against the Phoenix Mercury. I'll also get into a little bit of a junk drawer, talk about some random thoughts I'm having about some news around the league, mostly about the Sun, some of it just stuff I felt like pointing out. To start today's show off, let's talk about that devastating loss to the New York Liberty on Wednesday. Wednesday was Camp Day at Mohegan Sun Arena. For those of you not familiar with Camp Day is basically a day where young people, kids, get to experience a WNBA game live. They have a bunch of kids there, all in like matching t-shirts and things. And, you know, it provides a opportunity for them to be able to experience a game. It's why the game was at 11 o'clock, so they'd have time to, you know, get to the game and get home at a reasonable time. It always seems to lead to some of the best audio in games. I just loved hearing all the little kids like screaming "Let's go Sun" at the top of their lungs. Having been to a Sun game recently at home, it was a lot of fun just seeing all the kids that were there on non-camp day, having a blast and obviously becoming massive Sun fans in the process. And so I can only imagine how many new fans are born out of every one of these camp days that every team across the league hosts. So camp day, was hoping that it would be a lot of fun. Hopefully it was a lot of fun for people who were there, but for me, sitting in my cubicle at work, it was devastating. You know, the game ended up so close. The game finished New York Liberty 71, Connecticut Sun 68. And, you know, I was sad already when we were down 10 in the first quarter. But then after they battled back in the second, honestly, it was like even more devastating. Coach White, in her post-game press conference, said, "We dug ourselves a hole early." And that's exactly right. You know, like those early struggles meant that the Sun needed to battle back the whole time. And it's not easy when they're playing against a team like the New York Liberty. New York was 49% from the field in that game, and Connecticut was only 36. And that's a big margin to try and make up, right? Especially when you're playing against a team that's so loaded like New York is. You know, Sabrina Ionescu finished the game with 21 points on 53% shooting. Courtney Vandersloot finished 45% shooting. Brianna Stewart, 55% shooting, right? Like, the New York Liberty played New York Liberty ball, and they looked really good. And the Sun also looked really good after that first quarter. You know, like, the Sun came back in this game. Dewana Bonner had 22 points. She was 3 of 5 from 3. She also had 9 rebounds and 3 assists. And, like, that 3-point shot was falling, and that's a huge thing for this team, right? Like, in the game against Atlanta last week, she had 7 made 3-pointers in that game. So, like, the 3 she made in this game, 3 of 5, is great to see. But also, it wasn't her most efficient game overall, right? I mean, she was 6 of 16 for the entire game. But she did hit like that really deep three late in the game, and just is showing that she's still coming up in those big clutch moments. And throughout this game, as usual, Dewana Bonner was the player keeping the Sun in the game whenever, you know, New York was starting to battle back. It felt like DB was coming up big and dragging the Sun along back into this game. You know, Alyssa Thomas was 1 of 4 in this game, but she did have 9 rebounds, 8 assists, a steal, and a block. Coach White, again, in her post-game press conference, said that 1 of 4, like, isn't really enough to describe what AT does. And that's fair. It's always fair. But, you know, you'd love to see her scoring more. It is tough with the size and length that New York has inside, but these are the kinds of games we got to win, right? So it's like, we really have the Sun have to find a way to get AT going in these matchups where, you know, it's going to be tougher on the inside. Despite that toughness on the inside, right? I mean, Brianna Jones, with Brianna Stewart guarding her for most of the time, Brianna Stewart, who is, you know, was the league MVP last season. Breezy finished the game 8 of 15 with 17 points, 8 boards, 2 assists. it was a fun game to watch, obviously. It was not as fun as we got down the stretch and New York battled back and got back into it late. But I'm going to get to what all of us were thinking about at the end of that game. Anyone who watched it, and you know, if you have WNBA League Pass, you can also go back and watch this. I, just before recording, decided to put myself through watching those last couple minutes of the game again. And I'm going to talk about this final possession. I'm going to get wonky and in the weeds here, so I'm going to slow it down and try and make sure, if you didn't catch this game, that you're, you know, you can visualize what the picture I'm trying to paint here. So we're at the very end of the game. Sun are down three. There's 4 seconds on the clock, and they're inbounding the ball after calling a timeout. You've got Ty Harris inbounding the ball. Dewana Bonner and Dejanay Carrington are at the top of the key. Breezy is in the left dunker spot, and AT is at the right elbow. So AT pops out to the three-point line. Harris inbounds to her. And then at the same time, Dewana Bonner was pushing towards the right wing and then ended up drifting over left. So once Alyssa Thomas gets the ball at the top of the key in her hands, she sort of looks to the right, doesn't see anyone. She's immediately double-teamed and then gets the ball out left to Ty Harris, who has drifted over past Carrington, who actually ends up screening Harris's original defender, Courtney Vandersloot. But then Harris gets her three-point shot blocked by Sabrina Ionescu, who had been watching Carrington. So Sabrina switches off of Carrington onto Harris to get the block that ends the game. And in her post-game press conference, head coach Stephanie White said that the Sun were not able to get the shot they wanted. She said that New York took away a couple of the reads they were looking for, including, you know, their original plan and the other ones that they have kind of in their back pocket should that first one not work out. And so I want to start by saying, like, credit to the New York defense for figuring out, what the Sun were going for. But I just felt like it was not the strongest way to end that game, right? And obviously, look, I'm a fan. I'm not a coach, okay? Stephanie White definitely knows more about basketball than I do. It's way easier to comment on what happened after a game than it is to come up with the idea in the game. I could never do what she does. But, you know, I think that once that inbound pass goes to Alyssa Thomas, so the top of the key, she's getting double teamed. She looks to the right. There's not an option there. No one's on that weak side. Like, the Sun had that reset timeout, and I would have used it. You know, the reset timeout is a new thing they're doing in the W, and basically it's like you get the benefit of being able to restart the possession. You get to have a inbounds play again. You just don't get, like, the moment to huddle. When there's 4 seconds left, AT is being doubled with the ball at the three-point line, and she's not a three-point shooter. Like, I think that's a good time to use that reset and just kind of, like, go for it again. Maybe, like, do a different thing, try something else out. I'm not sure how it could have helped. And again, it's so much easier to do this, like, Monday morning quarterbacking and be like, oh, I would have done something differently. And ultimately, like many of you, I was probably just a sad fan who luckily didn't go to Twitter and went to some of my group chats instead. And ultimately, you know, it's hard to know what the plan originally was. I think for one thing, I probably would have wanted to see Rachel Banham in the game in that moment. Rachel Banham finished the season last season with like 40% on three-pointers. And she hit a big three earlier in that game. So I'm surprised not to have seen her in on that out of timeout moment. 4 seconds left. You need a shot. Especially if you're going to have Ty Harris inbounding it. Like, yeah, I just think you want to have as many shooters around as possible. But again, I'm not a coach. And, you know, head coach Stephanie White said that she had a play drawn up. It didn't work out. So again, just credit to the Liberty defense. But it does still suck. You know, it's tough that The New York Liberty continue to be a team that the Connecticut Sun struggle against, and it's a team that they're likely going to have to face in any road to winning a championship, which is obviously what they're looking to do this year. And it's what we as fans want to see is the Sun winning a championship. And so these are matchups they need to be able to figure out. It's been hard for them as of late, and hopefully, you know, going into next week, the Sun play the Liberty again on Tuesday next week. And so, you know, hopefully there's some lessons learned here. But I guess it's really just hoping that the Sun come out strong at the beginning of the game and not, you know, give up a 10-point lead in the first quarter. That makes it so you're fighting back because, yeah, game ended 3-point game and, you know, could have been a massive win for the Sun. But instead, the Sun end up after that game in second place. New York take the first place. So, again, a devastating loss, but the Sun tried their best to make up for it. I mean, today's game against the Phoenix Mercury ends Mercury 69, Sun 96. I mean, the Sun with another absolute rout against the Mercury. They're now 3-0 on the season against the Mercury. And this was the first game where they had to face Brittany Griner and Diana Taurasi at the same time. And in the other two games, one or the other was hurt. And I'm looking at my notes right here, and the very first thing I wrote down watching this game is just like, Kalia Copper is so legit. Like, just, I saw Dejanay Carrington playing so much good defense, and it was like, it just, at times, especially in that first and second quarter, it's just like, didn't matter. She was just getting to the rim as much as she wanted. Dejanay had a good game, I would say. Like, in my mind, I think Dejanay had a good game. She finished the game with 11 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. She had a massive block. She blocked Brittany Griner, which, like, I can't think of, like, a time I've seen Griner get blocked ever. I don't watch a ton of Mercury games unless they're playing the Sun, but, like, yeah, that was wild to see. You know, it wasn't like a massive block against like a transition layup like Dejanay had a few games ago, but like still blocked Griner. Griner's one of the like the most important pieces of that Mercury team. And so it was huge. And in Dejanay's postgame presser earlier today, she said, you know, she wasn't having a great game in terms of getting shots to fall. You know, early in the game, I noticed Dejanay taking a lot of three-point shots that just weren't hitting. But then she said that she just found other ways to contribute while her shot wasn't falling and why those stops weren't happening. And that's how she ended up with those 11 rebounds, right? And those, you know, the steals, the assists, just like finding other ways to contribute, which is what you want from a player, you know, a player especially like her, who's like looking like the most improved player this season. Like, it's great to see her continuing to develop her game where even if those things that have been working for her thus far, you know, her shooting, especially those drives and layups, the transition buckets, if that's not falling, she's still finding other ways to impact the game, and that's huge. Speaking of huge, Dawana Bonner, 8 of 15 shooting, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. I mean, it's been so great to see. I think over the last 4 games or so, Dawana Bonner is just, her shooting is coming alive, right? I mean, again, she wasn't that efficient in that game against the Liberty, but her 3-point shooting was great, 3 of 5. And then tonight, you know, to go 8 of 15, she also went on that big run in the first. I think she scored 8 straight points to bring the Sun back into the game. You know, they had fallen behind early, and Dawana Bonner said, not here, not today, and quickly cleaned that up. So that was really exciting to see. And also just seemed like, as usual, throughout the game, whenever the game was getting, you know, getting nervy, getting, you know, getting close again, or whenever the Mercury looked like they were going on a run, Dawana Bonner was just like, okay, took the game in her hands, quick layup, you know, mid-range shot, just like timely shots to keep the Sun in the game. So that was huge. Another big note for me is Alyssa Thomas only played 22 minutes, which is great. She was, you know, 3 of 5 for shooting. She had 5 boards, 3 assists. Kind of, for her, those are kind of low numbers. But again, just 22 minutes in this game. And I was just excited to see her get some rest, you know. And it wasn't even just after the Sun were kind of running away with this game. She got some rest early. And then, of course, got to get some more later once the game was becoming a blowout. And in a piece she recently wrote for the Hartford Courant, Emily Adams noted that, like, one of the keys to success for the Sun in these last two games before the All-Star break and the Olympic break was consistency and health. And so, you know, when you're looking at being able to get rest for DeWanna Bonner and Alyssa Thomas, who tend to play big minutes for this team, it's great to see, you know, rest for the both of them in this game. And I think a lot of that rest has to do with the fact that Rachel Banham went absolutely off in this game. There's been a lot of folks on Twitter that I've seen that I've been chatting with. There's folks I'm seeing all over social saying that, you know, where's Rachel Banham? Why isn't Banham in the game? And Stephanie White talked about that a little bit about, you know, how matchups lead to different players having, you know, getting their moment at different times. But today was the day for Rachel Banham. Rachel came off the bench. She had 24 points today. She was 8 of 11 from 3. She also had an assist and 2 rebounds. And, like, man, it was just such a great game. She came out, she hit that first 3, and, you know, she just never looked back, right? I mean, today's game, actually, she made some history. She had 8 threes, which is the most by a bench player in WNBA history. And also her 24 points were the most ever scored without a 2-point or free throw attempt. So she didn't try a 2-pointer at all. She didn't get fouled and go for any free throws. It was just straight buckets off threes. And she was taking, like, big threes too. It wasn't even just, like, you know, wide open shots. Like, she was, like, hitting them in front of people. These were quick release threes. Like, Rachel really had a good game. She also started off some playmaking in this game too. There was that great moment where Rachel's kind of driving in, looking like she might be going for one of those 2-pointers. And as Griner kind of shifts her attention just a little bit, Banham hits Breezy for a bucket inside right behind Griner. And, like, those are huge moments when you have a big like Griner in the paint where, you know, she is a massive deterrent for layups, and so being able to make that little bit of space for Breezy is huge, and those are the kinds of winning plays that this team thrives on, right? Rachel also looked solid on defense today. You know, I think that there are times where if the Sun are looking for more of a defensive spark, they might bring in, like, Burton off the bench or even Tiffany Mitchell. But Rachel Banham looked good off of the bench today. And, like, I don't know, I just think with that group, you know, Burton, Banham, and Mitchell coming off the bench, like, team's looking good in terms of the backcourt, backcourt depth. Like, that's the team's looking solid, and, like, you just hope to continue seeing growth from the bench players and continue seeing growth from the starters. And, you know, we're seeing it with DeJounte Carrington. I think Ty Harris's 3-point shot isn't what it was last season, but she's getting to her spots. And I think, you know, more and more confidence in that starting position. And, like, you know, with the break coming up, you know, we could see big changes from Ty Harris to make it so that the Sun are looking like an absolutely elite backcourt. Again, with this game, the Sun go up 3-0 on the Mercury, who also are, like, fourth in the league in points per game. And so it is wild that the Sun were able to hold them to just 69 points in this game. Like, the Sun, when their defense is working, their defense is just working, man. I mean, yeah, the Mercury are also number 6 in the West. So, like, this is a team you should be beating. But regardless, it felt good. You know, you got to beat the teams in front of you. And so feels good to get another win. Good way to close out this week, especially with the rematch coming up against New York, seeing our offense come alive, our defense lock in, like, that can only be a good sign before heading down to the Barclays Center. And so I'm excited about it. Speaking of the Barclays Center, so for that rematch against New York on Tuesday, the Sun will be in New York. The Liberty have had some amazing crowds this season, so it's going to be, you know, a test of that road warrior mentality and, you know, a test of their road record. The Sun are currently 8-2 on the road. Liberty are 11-1 at home. So this is a big game. It's the last game before the All-Star break and the Olympic break, and so a win in New York would be massive for momentum going into the All-Star break. And also just massive for my mental health and for the mental health of so many Sun fans who are really sick of saying, like, ugh, well, in the next game against Liberty, will, or, you know, I can't wait for next time, right? It's like, I'm looking forward to finally getting that win against the Liberty. It's been too long. All right, that's enough of the serious talk. Let's get to the junk section. My first thing is just that, like, I love the Connecticut Sun court design. I'm a graphic designer in my day job, and, like, this court's just, it's clean, it's fun, it's nice, but, like, it's not tacky like those NBA in-season tournament courts with, like, the, you know, the bright, crazy colors, right? Like, it looks like a classic court with that little bit of an edge. I love the detailing of, like, the Mohegan symbol and the kind of detailing they have on the jerseys being on the court as well. The colors look great, and I don't know, I was recently playing NBA 2K, and, you know, when I play in the W game mode, I play as a Connecticut Sun player, obviously. And, yeah, just seeing that court in the game made me happy. And then, you know, watching on TV again, I was like, man, yeah, court's great. Speaking of 2K, I'm a Celtics fan. I've talked about that in this show. So I'm very excited to see Jason Tatum on the cover. I'm excited that they have the Asia Wilson cover, and that they've got the version with the two of them on there. But 2K Sports has made this W game mode, like, just so bad. They've added some more features. Like, there are, like, little bits of story element, but, like, you don't, in-game, you don't really play them out. You don't really see them. And on the NBA side of the game, the My Career mode where you create your own player, like, there's this whole drawn out storyline. Like, I think there's too much in it at times. And it's like, sometimes I'm just playing that game and I'm like, man, can I just play basketball in this basketball video game? But then on the W side, it's like, there's really limited customization. There's no store on that side to be able to, like, buy cool clothes. There's no, you know, you can't walk around the city the way that you can on the NBA side. And so, you know, while I'm excited that NBA 2K is committing to continue to have players from the W on variant covers, like, it's time for some investment on the W side of this game. Like, I want it to feel more like a real game mode and less like a little side project. Like, the gameplay feels like what I would imagine a career mode for a game would be when I was, like, playing video games in 2006. Like, let's step it up. So that's frustrating. On some not frustrating news, I've been loving seeing the Unrivaled announcements. Unrivaled is a league started by Brianna Stewart and Nafisa Collier. And, like, it's a 3v3 league that will be happening in the WNBA offseason. And it's different from other 3v3 leagues because it's actually 3v3 full court rather than just half court. So not like the Olympic style. So you still kind of get that traditional feel, kind of like watching Big Three, but you also, you know, have a 3v3 and it's going to be fast paced. They've been doing an announcement, one player every day. And so I've been enjoying it. I've been enjoying their social media team. Definitely follow them on, you know, social media. I'll tag them in the show notes so that you can look them up too. And, you know, I'm wondering if there will be any Sun players on there. You know, I don't know how the contracts work with you know, the teams that the players play for overseas. I don't know how it works with other groups they might be signed to in terms of things they're doing in the offseason, but I know that I would love to see Dawana Bonner in a season like that. Like, I feel like with her size and her varied scoring and her defensive ability, like, I think she'd be a really fun player to watch in a 3v3 tournament like that. Also, obviously, Dejanay Carrington, like, her defense, her speed, her transition play, like, I think that would translate really well. And I think Alyssa Thomas can do anything. So I think there's plenty of players from the Sun that could be Unrivaled and would look really great there. And so I'm really looking forward to watching Unrivaled, watching them grow, and watching them when their season actually starts in the WNBA offseason. Not to get, you know, ahead of myself a little too much here right before the All-Star break, but I'm really excited for that. And lastly, man, these transitions have been good. I didn't even script this episode all the way out, but listen to this transition talking about the All-Star game. First of all, you know, again, All-Star this year is WNBA All-Stars against Team USA. And Dawana Bonner got that great Olympics logo necklace for Lissa Thomas. There was videos out about it all over. I'll link to a video of it in the show notes, but that gift is just so sweet, and like I can't wait to watch those two play against each other. And then I also can't wait to watch Alyssa Thomas and Brianna Jones in the Olympics, and also just to see Dawana Bonner like on the sideline, like smiling over. It's going to be so much fun to watch this Team USA and to watch the All-Star game. But also, you know, the 3-point contest and the skills challenge, the rosters for those hasn't been announced yet. And, you know, I've seen campaigning about having Ty Harris in the 3-point contest. You know, she was an amazing 3-point shooter last year. Again, so far this season with her increased usage, we haven't seen the same numbers. But I would love to see Ty Harris in there. I also think that Dawana Bonner could be a fun addition. I'm not sure that I think Bonner could win it, but, you know, she's an absolute legend and deserves to be there, and her shooting is legit, so that'd be fun. But according to Julia Stambo, I'm sorry if I said your last name wrong, but according to Julia Stambo from the Bleacher Report, it's looking like, you know, there's rumors about Caitlin Clark being in it, which makes sense. It's also looking like, according to her, that Arika Gumbawale, Kelsey Plum, Kayla McBride, Sabrina Ionescu, Diana Taurasi are kind of the big names that are probably more likely to be in it. The 3-point contest for the WNBA is a smaller field than it is in the NBA, so not that many spots and a lot of really great shooters to fill them. So I'm just interested in seeing, you know, where else some Sun players can fit into All-Star Weekend. But honestly, you know, again, I'm getting ahead of myself. We still have the game on Tuesday against the New York Liberty. So looking forward to that. And I think that's going to do it for today's episode of Here Come the Sun. If you've enjoyed listening to the show, make sure you're subscribed wherever you get podcasts, including on YouTube. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, please give us a 5-star rating, leave us a review. It really does help other Sun fans find the show when they're, you know, searching for WNBA podcasts or Connecticut Sun podcasts in whatever podcast app they're using. You can also connect with us on social media at CTSunPod, or you can email us at ctsunpod@gmail.com. You can also leave us a voicemail so we can hear your voice on the show. Call us at 617-903-7683. As a production note, in putting together this episode, I leaned on some reporting from Emily Adams from the Hartford Current, as usual, and I will link to her work in the show notes. And as previously mentioned, I also leaned on some work from Julia Stamba from the Bleacher Report. Thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you all next week here on Here Come the Sun.